From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Can I always say, I think, just to protect us all, and so Fox doesn't get sued, and we all don't get sued, and everything else, but I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him.
Right
in
now.
Custody, right? In custody, everyone did a great job. We worked with the local police, the governor. Everybody did a great job. You know, getting somebody that you start off with absolutely nothing. And we started off with a clip that made him look like an ant that was almost useless. We just saw there was somebody up there. And so much work has been done over the last 2.5 days. You know, it's amazing, actually, when you start off with that and then all of a sudden you... You get lucky or talent or whatever it is. But
and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. President Trump announcing to the nation earlier today that a suspect had indeed been taken into custody, arrested, and we now know that individual's name. Tyler Robinson is his name. And according to the press conference that the FBI had, and by the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us on this breaking news Friday. The governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, who I think has been doing a pretty darn good job in these press briefings, he's been doing most of the talking and not law enforcement, but he's been conveying a lot of important information. He says that a family member of the suspect, believed to be the Tyler's father, contacted a family friend after the shooting, and that friend then contacted the sheriff's office and told them that Robinson had either confessed or suggested that he had committed the killing. It turns out those Converse tennis shoes, and late last night they had that weird press conference where Kash Patel just simply did not speak. He stood there and said absolutely nothing. The governor did most of the talking. And it turns out it was the shoes. They released a photograph of those Converse shoes, and that apparently played into some of this. He's 22 years old. I keep wanting to call him a kid. He's a monster. But let me say something here, and there is still a lot more happening. And he may be the only person who pulled that trigger, but somebody put the bullets in the gun. And by that, I mean somebody filled this kid's mind with all sorts of radical fascist propaganda. And when you look at this guy's backstory, when you look at the family, the mom kind of looks like a nut job, but the father, a patriot, we understand, in law enforcement. And it looks as though this kid was radicalized on the university campus. That is a frightening concept, ladies and gentlemen. Again, going back to the survey we told you about, 1 in 3 college students now believe that it's okay to use violence against people you disagree with. A majority of American college students now believe they have a right to shut down any speech they find offensive. And there was a disturbing report coming out of Rutgers University about the rise of the assassination culture. So it used to be just the cancel culture, but now we're dealing with something called the assassination culture, where you have these very young liberal kids. And this is a trend from within the liberal community here, the leftist community, where they believe it is okay to take out people that you consider to be subhuman. And when you look at all of the rhetoric spewing from the left, you look at all of the hate coming out of the left, you now understand where all of this is leading to. It seems to me that what we ought to be doing here is going after, we need to find out where this kid went to school, who his professors were, what organizations, campus organizations he was a part of, because it looks to me, and I may be off base here, but at least with all of the initial information that's coming out about this Tyler Robinson kid, it looks to me that he grew up in a pretty stable, pretty solid family home and family environment. And then suddenly goes off to college and becomes radicalized. And moms and dads of America, hear me on this. You ought to be very, very concerned, about sending your child off to a taxpayer-funded university right now. And I say that because your child, your sweet, precious little child, could end up being radicalized, and you may not even know it until they come home and they're ready to start shooting people. That's how dangerous this is. And if he didn't go to college, and again, we're just getting a lot of information about this kid, but if he didn't go to college, we need to find out what groups he was associating with. What was going on in that guy's mind, and who radicalized that kid? We need to start targeting all of these folks. That's what we need to start doing. And by the way, God bless a lot of the universities that are stepping up and taking action right now. I can tell you here in the southern states, East Tennessee State University, they had a staff member going off celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. That person now unemployed. Two of them, by the way, two faculty members over there, now unemployed. The University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, they fired a staffer who was not only celebrating, but accusing Charlie of being a member of the KKK and a white supremacist. Gone. There was MTSU, where you had a college student there, a student who threatened to assassinate Marsha Blackburn. That student's arrested by the FBI. And now you've got a situation where a staff member at MTSU was caught celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Now that person is unemployed. And there is, God bless Libs of TikTok, because they're exposing as many of these professors as they can. Here's the deal. You got a private business and you want to be a fascist, that's your business. But not at a taxpayer-funded institution. I don't care what it is. You don't get a job if you're a fascist. Not on the taxpayer dime. I'm sick and tired of this nonsense. I'm sick of it. But we need to know who radicalized this guy. Who did that? And I have a sneaking suspicion that the next voice you're about to hear may have had something to do with that. Cut 15.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Kamala Harris, ladies and gentlemen. Kamala Harris. Just one of many Democrats who have been out there calling us irredeemable, calling us deplorable, calling us the dregs of society, calling us an existential threat to democracy. The list goes on and on and on and on. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right away. Our good friend, national correspondent Robin Poffman, joining us. Robin, there were a lot of people, myself included, that thought last night's press conference was sort of weird. But now, today, we have an arrest, so all is forgiven from yesterday. But what is it that we know and don't know about the suspect?
Well, I'll tell you, it was weird. I felt that they were, you know, they all knew a lot more. And that sometimes happens where you have, you know, the top brass of an administration. Obviously, the FBI director, Kash Patel, is just like standing there, deer in the headlights. It looked weird. I think that he knew what was about to go down. You know, with Trump announcing on Fox and Friends this morning about this 22-year-old suspect, his father and a minister apparently turned him in. He's 22 years old, a local from Utah. Apparently there was this dinner where he came home and he was, you know, spewing hate about Charlie Kirk. I mean, how about get a job and stop spewing hate. I'm reminded this morning, and I was thinking about this last night, Todd, since being on your show yesterday, that, you know, we did make this point yesterday, but words matter. So Hillary Clinton calling half this country, or more than half this country, a basket of deplorables, which is the one thing that comes to my mind. I know there's been many, many other statements, but to put people who don't agree with you and your politics down like that. Think of that, basket of deplorables. That comment was made back in 2015, before the 2016 election. One of the reasons that she lost, insulting people that way. And now the insults, the words that matter, are ingrained in the minds of these empty vessels like this 22-year-old and the Butler shooter and this lunatic who's on trial in Florida for trying to assassinate Trump. These words resonate in their mind, and that's why we're at where we're at today.
Robin, Sebastian Gorka, our good friend and colleague working at the White House, shared this series of tweets last night, and these are all coming from Joe Biden, all right? Joe Biden, President of the United States. Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are a threat to the very soul of the country. Donald Trump is the greatest threat to our democracy. Donald Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. He's a threat to our freedom. He's a threat to our democracy. He's literally a threat to everything America stands for. Trump poses many threats. The greatest threat he poses is to our democracy. I mean, this is just a sampling of the hate, as you referenced, and I think you're right. Words do matter here.
They do, and all of that rhetoric combined with the AOCs of the world, that nut job congresswoman in Texas, Maxine Waters, go and attack Republicans at dinner where they went after Huckabee's daughter. She was eating there with her family in Washington, D.C. Go and disrupt Ted Cruz at his dinner in Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court justice who was almost killed outside of his home. I mean, we could be on the air, Todd, for the next 90 days and not go through every single incident. But these people who are empty vessels, they're uneducated, and they are ginned up by these nasty, nasty words. And it's ingrained in their mind. The hate grows. It's like the Hitler thing. Donald Trump, what does he have to do with Hitler and exterminating 6 million Jews and 1 million Christians in Nazi Germany? The answer would be nothing. But these people have no sense of time and history. I'm in Las Vegas at the moment on a matter, and I'm out here and I'm reminded of a couple of things. We had, you know, we're a day out from 9/11, right? September 12th. Think of 9/12, 24 years ago, how we came together as a country. We weren't black. We weren't white. We weren't old. We weren't young. We weren't fat. We weren't thin. We were just Americans. And I think that 9/12 of 2025, this needs to be a day of reckoning where we tone down this language. And I don't mean tone down just, you know, turn the dial. I mean, we've got a clear house. This is like having roaches in your kitchen. You see one roach, there's 20 behind the wall. We need to clean out this level of speech and shut it down on social media. Whatever it takes, it's got to go.
Well, I appreciate, Robin, what I appreciate is President Trump, and I don't know who on the curvy couch asked this idiotic question, but and you know how it goes in the national media. They're saying, well, but what do you say because there are extremists on both the left and the right? Well, that's simply not true. And as Trump pointed out, though, and I loved how he framed this, he says the radicals on the right are radical because they don't want to see crime. The radicals on the left are the problem, and they're vicious, they're horrible, and they're political savvy. And I think what we just saw here, Robin, and I'll give you the last word here. I think what we saw happen with Charlie is that Charlie Kirk was literally fighting for the soul of the country with words, and the left, they use bullets and violence.
It's true, and that's a stupid question written by a stupid woke behind-the-scenes reporter at Fox, no doubt about it. People need to understand that a lot of those questions are prepared in advance, and you have a lot of woke idiots that work there. But that said, I like how the president phrased it. I've heard Stephen Miller phrase it that way. And yeah, that's a hope and change bumper sticker about, oh, there's radicals on both sides. That's complete nonsense. I agree with you. It's a bumper sticker and we've got to change it. We need real hope. We need real change. This basket of deplorables, putting people down because they don't agree with who you voted for, has got to come to an end. And I know we were supposed to talk about crime today. I'm very excited that President Trump, when you suggested to him on your program to clear out all the no law and no order thuggery in Memphis, I'm glad it's going to get done. Every city in America, we need to clear out all these criminals and lock them up, period.
Yeah.
Enough.
All right, Robin, we've got to leave it there. We are up against a hard break. Appreciate your great analysis here, but you're right. Enough is enough. Robin Poffman, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Today is also Open Line Friday, and we're going to be taking your calls, 901-260-5926. They got this guy. Death penalty? Yeah, I think it ought to be a public execution as well. I'll explain why coming up after the break again. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Have you ever wondered why some people seem to experience God's favor in extraordinary ways? Well, there's a secret hiding in plain sight throughout Scripture. God has designed a pathway to blessing that runs directly through our relationship with Israel. It's not complicated, and it's really not mysterious. It's actually beautifully simple, a promise found in Genesis 12. God said, "I will bless those who bless you." Now, this holy equation has been working for 4,000 years from Abraham's time to today. God rewards those who align their hearts with his heart for Israel. It's sort of like stepping into a river of blessing that's been flowing since the beginning. When I support the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I'm not just giving charity. I'm plugging into God's ancient blessing system. I'm choosing to flow with his plan instead of against it. And the results speak for themselves. Lives transformed, families blessed, purposes fulfilled. As Christians, we believe we've been grafted into God's family tree. So let's discover what it means to be united with his chosen people through faith. To learn more, visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
I want you to look at how Utahns reacted the last two nights. There was no rioting. There was no looting. There were no cars set on fire. There was no violence. There were vigils and prayers and people coming together to share the humanity. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is the answer to this. We can return violence with violence. We can return hate with hate. And that's the problem with political violence, is it metastasizes, because we can always point the finger at the other side. And at some point, we have to find an off-ramp, or it's going to get much, much worse.
Yeah, that's the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, just a little while ago. And, you know, it's interesting. The only thing burning in America in the aftermath of Charlie's assassination are candles. That's it. There have been no riots. There's no pillaging, no plundering, no looting, because that's not what conservatives do. That's not who we are. We are Christian people. And when you look at the left and look at George Floyd, and the guy was hopped up on fentanyl and all sorts of stuff. I mean, cities burned, businesses were looted, pillaged, and plundered. People lost their lives. It was awful. But that's how the left does things. That's how they handle things. You know, last night I was honored to be a part of a vigil for Charlie Kirk, and the Young Republicans of Memphis put this thing together. They had over 600 people turn out for this candlelight vigil last night, and it was really a beautiful, moving thing. The local Turning Point USA chapter from the University of Memphis was there, and to look out over the crowd, and they asked me to say a few words, and I was honored to oblige. Just to see the numbers of young people that were there. And some of them had literally rushed off of the job so that they could be there and be a part of that moment. And I remember standing out there and telling the crowd, what I saw were hundreds and hundreds of Charlie Kirks, men and women, old, young and old, who can make a difference, who can turn the direction of this country. And it's going to require a lot of work and a lot of effort because of the radicalization that's been happening on these university campuses. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be taking your calls. It is Open Line Friday. We're also expecting Congressman John Rhodes from Tennessee coming up next. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. So we had President Trump on the show a couple of weeks ago, and then a few days after that was invited to the White House to visit and fellowship with the president. During the interview, the president, I talked to him about Memphis, my hometown, and I figured, you know, I took a liberty. And I said, you know, Mr. President, what about Memphis? We're the most violent city in America. We're the deadliest city in America. And I mean, I appreciate Washington, D.C. and Chicago and L.A., but what about our town? And here's how that conversation went. Cut number 11. Mr. President, you mentioned crime, and your FBI director, Kash Patel, did an interview with Fox. And he said that my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, is the homicide capital of America. And the people here are they're just oppressed. You know, it's a blue city. We've got Republicans in leadership in Nashville, and a lot of folks are saying, "Is there anything President Trump can do to help out the good people of Memphis?" You know, Elon's building the big, huge super AI supercomputer here. Is there anything that you can do to help cities like Memphis?
Yeah, I will be. We're doing a sort of a test right now in D.C. It's working unbelievably much faster than we thought. We've arrested hundreds of criminals, hardline criminals, people that will never be any good. I don't care what they say. You know, they say, oh, rehab. They're not going to rehab these people. These are hardline. They're born criminals. They were born to be criminals. That's all they are. And we got them out of the system. And, you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of cities like that. But I love Tennessee. You know, I won Tennessee by many, many, many points. So it was a landslide. Far greater than even, you know, the Republicans do good in Tennessee. But I mean, my number was like 35 points, and I'm glad you're telling me that. I can put that early on a list, and I'm sure the people would love it.
And then at the end of the interview, the president brought it up again. He was not asked about it, but he brought it up again. Take a listen to Cut 12.
Well, it's an honor, and you've been with me from the beginning. Thank you, Todd. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Mr. President.
And I'm going to think about Memphis, too. Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. And then this morning on Fox and Friends, my understanding is the president may have jumped the gun because he was going to make this announcement on the Todd Starnes Show. But he was on Fox and Friends on the curvy couch, and here's what he announced. Cut 8.
I think maybe I'll be the first to say it right now again. We're going to Memphis. Memphis is
That's the next city.
Deeply troubled. And the mayor is happy. He's a Democrat mayor. The mayor is happy. And the governor, Tennessee, the governor is happy. Deeply troubled. We're going to fix that just like we did Washington. I would have preferred going to Chicago. I had a man in the head of a big, big railroad. They're doing a merger, and he wanted to come see me and all that stuff. And I asked him because, you know, it's one of the largest train companies, maybe the largest, so you can figure out who it is. Okay, Union Pacific. And he was in my office, and he started off 45 years ago with the railroad. It's such a great story. Sir, I'm a railroader. That's the kind of guy that should ride it, you know, as opposed to a Wall Street guy that destroys the railroad, but he's good financially. Right? And he was a very impressive guy. And I said, so what do you think? Where should we go next as a city? Because we're going to go 1, 2, 3, and then we'll do a few at a time. But we're going to straighten out the crime in these cities. He said, sir, Memphis would be good because he's on the board of FedEx. He said, when I walk one block to my hotel, they won't allow me to do it. They put me in an armored vehicle with bulletproof glass to take me one block. He said, it's so terrible. Yeah. I said, let me ask you a question. So we're going to Memphis. I'm just announcing that now, and we'll straighten that
National
out.
National Guard?
The National Guard, okay. And anybody else we need. And by the way, we'll bring in the military, too, if we need it.
There you have it. Liberation Day is coming. You're welcome, Memphis. And we are excited to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Welcome into the conversation, Congressman John Rose, who is also running to be the next governor of Tennessee. Welcome to you, Congressman.
Well, Todd, welcome to you, and thanks for having me on the Todd Starnes Show today.
So your reaction to the news coming out today, President Trump sending in the National Guard, not to Chicago, but to Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, I think this is just another crystal clear example of leadership from President Trump. He knows because of you, Todd, and obviously others, but thanks to you for really calling his attention to this, that Memphis has the highest, one of the highest rates of crime, the highest rate of crime in 2024 of any city in the country. Shelby County has so much to offer our state and nation, and so I'm hopeful that these resources from the National Guard and confident that they'll do the same thing they've done in Memphis of making the Bluff City a great place to work and raise a family once again.
And as the president pointed out, and we have shared this, you know, Memphis is a very critical place for the entire nation because we are a transportation hub, whether it be on boats, on ships, on the rails with the trains, and also, of course, with FedEx, you know, being headquartered right here.
Absolutely. Memphis is important to the country. I think it would be hard to overstate, particularly as you've already pointed out, with respect to logistics and transportation, not just FedEx, but certainly FedEx and the transportation hub and the cargo and important, information and materials that keep this country running that passes through Memphis, Tennessee. And obviously the investment of Elon Musk in the XAI, et cetera, I think underscores Memphis's importance. But we all know, and I've gotten the chance to be in Shelby County a lot here in recent weeks, we all know what a crown jewel Memphis is to Tennessee and to the Mid-South. And we simply have to take drastic action to make sure that Memphians are safe.
I know that our local leaders are enraged. The county mayor calling it un-American, which is a little ironic because this was the guy that literally shut down every restaurant, bar, small business in the county during the China virus. And he also threatened to fine people who did not wear what we call the face diapers. Those would be the masks, Congressman. So I think it's a bit rich for him to be talking about bringing in the National Guard as being un-American. You know what I find un-American, Congressman? The fact that you can't let your kids play out on the front yard because of the drive-bys.
Well, that's true. And I've talked to families there in Memphis that are concerned that, you know, they can't let their children go out and play in the yard, do what kids ought to get to do in Memphis because of the shootings in the background. And so, again, I think it calls for drastic intervention. The National Guard, I think we see what it's already done in Washington and having been there the past 2 weeks, seeing firsthand, just the sense of safety and security that you now feel in Washington. You get off the subway, and I ride the subway to work every day, and there are, you know, some of America's finest patriots in National Guard uniforms standing on the platform, and it just gives you that added sense of security. And, of course, we've seen the impact on the reduction in crime in Washington, D.C. And, of course, Washington's number 10, Memphis is number 1. And so I think it's time, and I appreciate the president stepping up to the plate. And I'm happy to see the governor and the mayor supposedly supporting this. And I feel a strong sense of hope for Memphians to feel safe once again in their city. And perhaps this gives the Memphis Police Department the breather it needs to start filling the ranks of the officers there and diverting their time to go after the criminals that are on the streets. But, of course, we've got bigger problems there because we've got to have a district attorney who's willing to take on crime, who's willing to prosecute the bad guys, get those serial offenders off the streets, send a strong message to anyone else who would be considering committing a crime in Shelby County in Memphis.
Congressman, I want to ask you about the news coming out of Utah earlier this morning. We understand a suspect has been taken into custody and is facing charges. My concern is, how did this kid get radicalized? Because it looks like right now, looks like he came out of a pretty normal family environment. And I'm looking at the university campus now. Was the kid, you know, if he was in school, was he radicalized there?
Well, certainly we see, and we've seen here in Tennessee, and I guess it's, again, encouraging that we've seen some educators taken out of their roles of being guiders, and mentors to our kids. We know that the college and university settings have become real hotbeds for this kind of woke radical thinking with liberal ideologues, trying to influence our kids. And I think we're seeing that now spill over, and too early to know exactly what the circumstances here are. But, you know, we just can't not have, the mentors for our kids, the professors for our kids allowed to foment hate and encourage violence because they have a different ideological view than someone else. And really disturbing. This is what was such a great thing about Charlie Kirk, is that he was a voice for open and vigorous dialogue and debate. He was willing to take on all comers and engage in that debate and encourage it to happen. And I think as a result was a great mentor and guide to our young people in this day. And they, of course, flocked to him because they wanted to hear that encouraging message. And so we'll have to wait to see what the exact details here are. But what a tragedy for our country to lose such a bright young man who was having such a tremendous impact on encouraging young Americans to exercise their freedoms, to become informed, and take on a debate in the public square in the way that he encouraged them to do so.
All right. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your wise words and, of course, running to be the next governor of the great state of Tennessee as well. Thank you, Congressman.
Thanks for having me on. It's a great honor and privilege to serve the people of Tennessee.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. So this is exciting for us. And I'm honored that President Trump would hear the concerns. And the reason why I asked the president is because nobody else would. You know, if the mayor of Memphis had done his job, if the county mayor had done his job, if the Republican governor of Tennessee had done his job, then Trump would not have to send in the National Guard. But the reality is they all took a pass. The mayor of Memphis literally invited, I am not making this up, he invited gang members to City Hall for milk and cookies to have a confab. Well, I got to tell you, when President Trump shows up, he's not going to have milk and cookies. He's going to have the National Guard, and they're going to be armed to the teeth with troops galore. It is going to be Liberation Day in the Bluff City, and I can't wait for that to happen. I want to play some audio before we go to break here. This is from a listener from KWAM. She lives in Cordova, Tennessee. And again, Memphis is the largest majority black city in America. So you need to understand what President Trump is doing. He's doing also for the black community here. Cut number 13. Latina, what say you?
Yes, I just want to say I'm so excited and grateful that the troops are coming to Memphis. They are very much needed. I mean, it had gotten to the point where you're afraid to drive in the daytime. I mean, you see robberies, you see reckless driving, and we really need them here to control the crime and to make the citizens safe again, because I don't feel safe in the city at all. Even during the daytime, you never feel safe. Carjacking, shooting, robbing armored trucks, all that is going on throughout the city. So I am so excited and so grateful that he has chosen to come to Memphis.
You know, it really does my heart good. You know, we asked the president and he said, you know what, we're going to take a look at Memphis. And after we did that long interview, the president actually circled back and he says, we're going to look at Memphis. We're going to take a long, hard look at what's going on there. And Latina, I just so appreciate that, because are you a long term? Are you an old timer? Have you been around Memphis for a while?
Yes, I've been around Memphis all my life, and this is the worst that I've ever seen it.
Right, exactly. So same here, and it you know, the young people don't know this, but Memphis did not used to be like this.
No, when my family visits here from Washington D.C., we cannot go out to Elvis. We cannot visit Graceland. We cannot visit Beale Street because we're afraid that we're going to get killed. So we really need the help and the assistance, and it should have been done years ago. Someone should have came in and looked at the problem years ago.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what President Trump is about to do. All right, we've got to take a break here. It's Open Line Friday. We're going right to your phone calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, as promised, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926, Memphis, Tennessee. Lee, listening to us on KWAM today. Hi, Lee, what's on your mind?
Well, I agree with most of everything you said about Memphis. I hope they come here, and I hope the National Guard, whoever they bring, Screaming Eagles for Fort Campbell, whoever, military police, I hope they have a 50-caliber machine gun on their Jeep. And I hope they'll be playing some music called Warriors, Come Out and Play Now. I just love that movie. Because this stuff needs to stop, man. It really do, Todd. It needs to stop.
You know what I want to see, Lee? I want to see paratroopers over North Memphis. I want to see the planes overhead.
It needs to stop. It really do. Now, I'm a black person, and I'm in the hood, and I'm in Orange now. I know what's going on. This stuff just needs to stop. It's getting to be too bad, man. We need them real bad here and there. I mean, you can't come out the store with someone looking at you, eyeballing you, when you're trying to count your money, when you go to your car, they come over there begging you? Come on now, this stuff really got to stop, man. I just hope they come to Memphis, and I hope this stuff just slow down or stop. They need to go out these criminal elements out here making all this money.
Lee, I have no doubt that the National Guard is going to be able to do that. And if nothing else, it's going to free up the local police, which is what they did in Washington, to start really targeting some of these hotbeds of crime. And Lee, I'm telling you, we've heard from so many black Memphians who are so thankful that President Trump is coming to the rescue.
But, Todd, you got to understand the situation with money. These public officials, these people that's running things, they are the cause of all this problem, man. They making money. They just turn their head. I mean, it's just a blind eye to all this corruption, man. Just think about all these things that's going on in this city. These cases are not being solved. Look what happened to the police department. They got a new trial and all this kind of mess. It's ridiculous.
Well, I will. Yeah, Lee, let me jump in here because the computer is going to cut us off. But again, it's exciting to see that the White House is truly concerned about we the people. And when you look, for so many years, we've had people in office that really don't care what goes on in places like Detroit or Houston or Memphis or even our nation's capital. They just turn a blind eye to it. Well, those days are over, and President Trump is playing hardball. And I know there are people out there saying, well, you know, the president needs to be conciliatory. You know, we've got to tone down. No, we don't have to tone down anything. The problem is that the left is out there making the threats. The left is out there causing the violence. This is not the time to back down, ladies and gentlemen. This is the time for conservatives to stand up. All right, we've got to take a quick break. It is Open Line Friday. We're going to your calls. I promise you, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
And hello, everybody. Welcome. Sort of jumped the gun there. It's Friday. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. And we got him. We got the guy. He is a 22-year-old, went to school for one semester, and this guy actually wrote on one of the bullets, "Hey, fascist, catch." So that tells you all you need to know about this guy, full of hate, full of hate. And now we need to talk about where all of that hate and all of that rage came from. And I would recommend looking first and foremost at the university system in this country. It is Open Line Friday. We've got a lot going on today. Real quick, though, I want to go to the phones and right out of the gate, and let's talk to Kent, who is listening to us in Southwest Kansas on AM 1210 KGYN, our great affiliate out in those parts. Kent, what is on your mind today?
Oh, Todd, how much time do we have? Do we have a lot of time or not too much?
Well, we don't have a lot, but let's get to it. Your reaction to Charlie. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it just breaks my heart. I you know, you feel like you lost a family member, Todd. I just pray for his family and his friends. It's hard to comprehend why this stuff happened.
You know,
but I want to share with your listeners that you are a man of your word. I got my book Monday. You sent me the book like you said you would. I got it Monday.
Well, Ken, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you for letting me know. We've got a great team here, and they keep me honest, and so I'm glad the mail worked.
So, Todd, the day they killed Charlie, that night as I was looking through the Star Spangled Blessings, the lesson was Matthew 5:44, love our enemy. And I thought, wow, I needed to hear that day because I didn't like our enemy very good that day, Todd.
Ken, I'm not sure I can. I'm at that point yet. You're a better man than I am.
Well, I'm not saying I'm being obedient. I'm just saying that's what God's word told me that night.
Yes.
So I just wanted you to know, and your listeners to know, that you did what you said. You sent me the autographed copy of the book, Todd. On a lighter note, a while back you talked about the word cracker and the Cracker Barrel deal.
Yes.
So I read a book a while back about the cow business in Florida, and the guys used bull whips to chase cattle and herd cattle because they couldn't use ropes in the swamp in the Everglades. So they got to calling them crackers because that's what they used, was a bull whip.
Oh.
This was in the 1800s. So I wanted you to know that's some of the derivative of cracker, and it had nothing to do with race.
Well, that's good to know, and I think in this particular, well, Ken, I'm glad you did, and thank you for calling in. And I think if I'm understanding my country history, and by country I mean the country, they use those barrels to put the crackers in, and hence the term Cracker Barrel. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line real quick and say hello to a good friend. He is Tennessee State Senator Brent Taylor. And he is my state senator. He's also sort of like the Tennessee version of Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, quite the wordsmith. Senator, good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate that. And I'm glad to be with you, and I appreciate your kind words.
You know, Senator, I want us to first of all talk about Charlie Kirk. And last night, in Germantown, Tennessee, over 600 people turned out for a vigil, and it was really moving. But I'm sensing that something is going on in the country, and that the young people of America are waking up, and they're realizing that we cannot go down this path of fascism.
I totally agree. And I think, Todd, we're really at a tipping point or a turning point, to use Charlie Kirk's organization's name. I think we're at a turning point. And you saw it with the Ukrainian young lady that was killed in Charlotte, and then that was followed a few days later with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I think people, normal, law-abiding citizens, have finally reached their breaking point. I think this is a turning point where people are saying enough is enough. We're not taking this anymore. And they're going to start demanding accountability from their elected officials instead of coddling criminals to holding criminals accountable. And what we see in many cities, including mine and your city, that criminals are given freedom and victims are given funerals. And that's got to stop. And I think we've reached that point where people are tired of it. And I think we're going to see a different type of election in the next few cycles than what we've seen in the past.
I do, too. And I think it's going to be important for us to get that messaging out there. Here is the reaction from, and by the way, Democrats, they control everything in Memphis. And here is the county mayor, and he's talking about how we don't need the National Guard and says it's un-American for President Trump to send the National Guard. Listen to Cut 5, please.
I would encourage him to not call the National Guard here. I think that that is really anti-American, anti-democratic. There's probably some options like having the National Guard without the uniforms, without the military fatigues. Maybe there's some other uniform. Maybe instead of the semi-automatic rifles, maybe they have sidearms. I was really encouraged to see the governor sending Tennessee Highway Patrol to town. I think that's the kind of thinking we need, and that's the kind of partnership we need.
Yeah, maybe we should just give them lollipops, Senator.
I agree, and I've watched part of that interview, and I finally turned it off because it was just nothing but nonsense. And, you know, if he's concerned about what type of footprint or presence the National Guard has, he would do better to articulate that to the governor and to the president rather than standing on the sidelines bitching about it. So I would, you know, encourage him to stop that. But let me just say one other thing about that. He says that it's un-American to send the National Guard in. I might remind him, as an African-American, that it was President Eisenhower that sent the National Guard to Little Rock to desegregate the high school in Little Rock. It was President Kennedy who sent federal troops to Birmingham and to Oxford to desegregate the schools. They did that because the civil rights of African-Americans were being violated. And it was incumbent upon the federal government using the National Guard to protect the rights of African Americans. It was a just cause then. And the civil rights of Memphians right now, specific to Memphis, are being violated because they don't have the right to leave their home and to go to the store, go to church, go visit friends across town, go downtown to eat in our restaurants. They're being denied the right to do that. And the cause today is just as important and just as it was for the presidents back then during the Civil Rights era to send the National Guard in to protect African-American civil rights. So it's unfortunate the mayor has a short memory.
I think this is a brilliant way to frame this conversation, because you're right. I mean, when you look at who are the people being most impacted by crime in the Memphis area, it is the black community. And to a person, they've been calling into our national radio show, our local radio station, and saying, we need help. We need relief. And we cannot continue to live like this. And I'm wondering, and you heard, if you go back and listen to President Trump, and I'm not going to play the clip again, but the president talking about how some FedEx personnel had to be carted around in an armored vehicle because it was so dangerous. Senator, for me, as a Memphian, as a Tennessean, I find that to be embarrassing.
I agree. And if you listen to what Mayor Harris says and the other Democrats, they're given the same lines that Orville Faubus, Ross Barnett, and George Wallace gave in the 1960s about why they didn't want the National Guard in those states during the Civil Rights era. They're making the same argument today, and it's unfortunate that they weren't better students of history than that.
It's a fair point, and I know that's a shocking statement, and you probably just made the headlines and heads explode in the newsrooms across the nation, Senator, but I think that's a fair way to look at it, and nothing else. I really see the National Guard coming. I think they're going to be welcomed as liberators because we are a city that is oppressed right now.
We are, and I think most Memphians are going to be like me. They're going to be as happy as a fat man at a Golden Corral buffet to see the National Guard in Memphis protecting their rights and protecting them from criminals.
Now that's a lot of happiness right there, Senator. All right, Senator Brent Taylor calling us from New Orleans on vacation. Senator, hope you're having a good time in the Big Easy.
Thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate you.
All right. State Senator Brent Taylor from the great state of Tennessee. This guy, if we had more Republicans like him on the state level across the nation, this country would be put in the right direction. Look at his split. What do you say? Happier than a fat man at a Golden Corral buffet? That's a good line. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have a lot of folks waiting to talk. But Carlotta in Rhode Island, it's been a long time, Miss Carlotta. What's on your mind?
Oh, so many things. Just cut me off when I've spoken too much. But an hour and a half before President Trump announced on the curvy couch that the killer was in captivity, Sid Rosenberg announced it on his show. And do you remember during Biden's first State of the Union speech what Sid Rosenberg did?
What's that?
He yelled out, Biden quoted, you know, some facts that weren't true, and Sid Rosenberg yelled out, says who? And they escorted him out. So you own your own station, Todd, and I know you sit in for Greg Kelly, so you must know him. You really ought to have more to do with that station because it's your type of thing. I mean, they were an hour and a half before the president, and nobody's giving him credit for that. So I would just love to see you have more to do with WABC. That's number one. Number two, has anyone noticed the difference between the way Ray handled Butler and Patel handled this?
It's a good question, Carlotta. I'm just going to be blunt with you as I can be. I am not terribly impressed with how the FBI is being run.
Oh, gee. Well, I'm sorry to hear that because I think that they're redoing the whole thing. I think that they're really rebuilding the whole agency. They're understaffed. They're tearing it apart. They're starting from scratch. They have a lot of people in there who are not working with them, so they're moles, they're working against them. So maybe they're just starting slow?
Well, that could be. I'm not sure about that, but I just have not been impressed with the whole handling of the Epstein files, a lot of the other information the FBI says that, you know, said from day one they were going to be releasing the investigations, and the FBI director's bizarre behavior last night where he said absolutely nothing at his own press briefing. It's just a little odd. And maybe that's it. They're still a little nervous getting their feet under them, but they've got to quicken the pace, I would say.
Okay. And also they may be transparent to a fault.
Well, maybe. Carlotta, it is good hearing your voice, and we appreciate you calling in, and thanks for listening. I want to go back to that Philadelphia speech that Carlotta mentioned, and this is the quote from President Joe Biden. Remember the Philadelphia speech? It was the dark Biden speech. We called him Darth Biden, where they had the blood red lighting behind him, and he said, quote, Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. That's the kind of evil we're dealing with in this country. All right, we're going to a break. Coming right back with your phone calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also, that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hello, hello. Hey, I just had a comment, really. That shooter had to be on the right roof, in the right place, at the right time to get that shot. I cannot believe he went from ground level to that position without encountering a locked door. So in my mind, he did not act alone. He was, to me, he was recruited the same way Thomas Crooks was recruited, from his social media page, because there's no way that he could have pulled that off all by himself. That's just my opinion.
I had heard a report that access, roof access, is pretty easy there at the university. And students normally don't have any trouble, getting up there on the rooftops. But there could be other people that are involved. Right now, we're not hearing that, but it's something they have to look at, Mike. And we've got to get to the bottom of all of this.
Well, as a university, why would you want your students to have access to rooftop buildings? Isn't that a liability for the university?
Well, it's a fair question. I mean, that's a fair point you bring up.
No, that's just my thought.
So, Mike, you think there may be a conspiracy here?
Well, I wouldn't go so far. Well, when you use theory.
Well, conspiracy meaning there are conspirators. There was more than one person involved.
Well, I think so. I mean, like Thomas Crooks, he was also in a BlackRock video. That's not
true.
Coincidence.
That's
and I don't
fair.
See how this guy could pull this off all by himself. He didn't just wake up Wednesday morning and say, I think I'm going to go shoot Charlie Kirk today. There had to have been planning, knowing where to be, when to be, how to get there, all of that. I just don't see how he could have access to all that information and so forth. Was he a student of the university?
He was not a student at that university. He had attended one semester at Utah State University, but he was not a student there at the school. So there was a lot of planning involved here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, Mike. I can promise you that. Thank you for the call. Some new information. This is from the reporting of CBS News, and I want to pass this along to you. According to CBS News, Tyler's father saw the photo that was released last night by authorities. He confronted his son about the photos, and that's when his son admitted that he was the person in the photograph. Tyler's father then told him that he should turn himself in. Tyler said he would rather commit suicide, so the father called a youth pastor who knows the family and is close to the family, and the pastor and Tyler's father tried to calm him down. The pastor also serves as a court security officer, and the pastor called U.S. Marshals. And the marshals detained Tyler and kept him secure. They then called the FBI and took him into custody. So that's the latest information there. By the way, Tyler did receive an academic scholarship, a presidential scholarship, to attend Utah State. That is their largest academic scholarship, and he intended for one semester. All right, hang tight. We've got to take a break. Going right back to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show, Open Line Fridays. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And I just have to say, I think the Democrat Party is done. They're over. There's nothing left to salvage. It's rot, just moral rot within the Democrat Party. And we are going to be dealing with the results of the radicalization of our schools for years to come, because there are some very dangerous 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that were radicalized in those campuses, in those classrooms, that are walking around right now, predators. So let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in today on a lot of issues. It's Open Line Friday, by the way, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Drew, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Drew. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Todd. You mentioned something earlier about, in terms of Memphis and specifically Mayor Young. I went back and looked this up, and sure enough, there it was. You know, last year, I think it was February is what the article said, February 24th or something like that of last year. Yeah, he did indeed meet up, literally meet up in person with a handful of local gang leaders to discuss possible ceasefires. And what can we do, guys? What are we going to do here to stop this violence? And they apparently, yes, I think this was News Channel 5, the article that published it or whatever, but the main thing apparently that they talked about was, well, we need jobs. We need jobs. Our guys need jobs, you know, so they don't have to resort to this. Like, and then that was it. And they went on about their merry way. I don't understand. So gang leaders are responsible for what? Deadly violence, carjackings, robberies, drive-by shootings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So instead of, you know, doing like a sting-style operation and snatching them up and trying to get information on all the other gang members and getting rid of all them, locking them all up, they no, okay, let's just have this discussion. Oh, you want jobs? Okay, we'll try our best to get jobs. Okay, have a nice day. Here's some cookies. That's insane. You can't tell me that Mayor Young and all of the leaders in the city, obviously they have information on these people's whereabouts. I'm sure they know their full legal names. I'm sure they know all their aliases. I'm sure they know their places of residences. I'm sure they have all their information. But instead of going after them and physically locking them up for good and all of their cronies under them, they're just, no, it's fine. We just need to try to find ways to, you know, get what they want. They want jobs, apparently. Oh, okay. I mean, really?
Well, it turns out they didn't want jobs.
So here we are, the National Guard. Here we are. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Mayor Young can't do it. Obviously, the mayors before him can do it either. So, yeah, now we're left with this. Mm. So I don't blame at all what's going on with bringing the guard in. I mean, what are we left with at this point?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Drew, we've got to leave it there, but thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the show. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, nationally syndicated radio host Joe Messina joins us. And you know, Joe, we've been following all sorts of breaking news stories today. And of course, going back to the arrest of this 22-year-old who looks like he grew up in a pretty stable household. And now we need to figure out, how was this guy radicalized?
You know, it's interesting. I looked at the pictures, but can we give kudos to the dad for doing his fatherly responsibility and getting that young man not only to fess up, but to the authorities?
Yeah.
I mean, how many parents would actually do that today? So, you know, again, well, let me tell you how it happens, Todd. As you know, I'm a member of a school board here in Southern California, one of the largest districts in the state. Go figure. We are not a totally conservative community. And the other night, we had a proposal on the table or a policy on the table to remove any flags that weren't anything but the American and the state flag. And what ended up happening is the room was packed with teachers and young kids that were, you know, yelling at us, yelling at me in particular, saying that all we were trying to do was hurt the LGBTQ community by removing their flags, that it would be hurtful and detrimental. And we had teachers there supporting them. And I got to tell you, Todd, we had maybe five or six conservative parents, no conservative kids. And so you can see what they're being fed at these schools 6 to 8 hours a day. That's how it's being done.
That's what concerns me. And by the way, I'm still trying to figure out how they elected you. Because you're a conservative, my friend.
Yeah. you and the libs in town are still trying to figure out how that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're there, but again, you really have a front row seat to all of this. So I'm not off my rocker when I say there is radicalization going on in these classrooms.
Oh, big time. When we did a town hall meeting on parental rights, on putting parental notification when a child was going to transition or do something to their bodies. We had a 3-hour meeting and 165 out of 180 speakers were left-wing radicals, were teachers, were students who decided that, you know, I was Satan's second cousin, even though they don't believe in God, and that what we were doing were bad. And they demonized the parents while being applauded by the teachers for 3 hours, Todd. Our people need to get involved. They need to step up. God bless Charlie Kirk, because he hit that young group and to be able to say, look, you have rights, you have a voice, you have a mouth. Don't be violent, but be vocal. We don't have that in the education system.
No, we don't. And we've got to do something about that. And this is going to take some time. But the problem I have is we got a lot of kids that have already been radicalized. They've graduated. They're out in the public now. And you wonder how many other, you know, potential assassins are there wandering around.
Oh, I agree with you, because you can see the rage. You know, I walk school campuses and you can see the rage and the hate in their eyes because they know me and who I stand for. Look, I'm no Charlie Kirk, but I don't shy away from God. I don't shy away from Jesus. I don't shy away from prayer at all. And they know it. So when you walk in those campuses, these kids are lost. There's no brightness behind their eyes. They really are in a bad and dark place, and they get momentary relief with the smartphones that they have and social media. But what are they being fed 24/7? What are they reading? They don't want to be ostracized, so they jump on those groups, you know, hate Charlie Kirk, hate Republicans, hate Donald Trump, and this is what they're being bombarded with 24/7. Todd, parents have to step up and do their job. They have to stop being their friends. They have to watch what they're, you know, looking at on the phone. And if you have to, God bless America, pull them out of the schools. I mean, I speak at churches and I say that, and the left has got clips of me they put up, and I say, look, money hurts these schools. If they're not teaching your kids properly, pull them out. Get together. Do some homeschooling. But you can't just keep letting things go as they go and think they're going to change.
By the way, Joe, I want to get your take on something we're dealing with here in Memphis. Of course, I asked President Trump a few weeks ago to send to the National Guard. He said, why? And I said, because we're the most dangerous city in America. And he said that nobody had asked him. Nobody had talked to him about this. So I said, well, Mr. President, we need your help. So on behalf of my hometown, can you help us out? And he said he would. And then this morning, he delivers on that promise. You got to love all the elected leaders here on the Republican side, because they're all taking credit for it. Those people didn't do jack squat. You know, that just irritates me. But anyway, the Democrats who control Memphis are raging right now. And the mayor, a guy by the name of Lee Harris, literally said at a press conference just moments ago that President Trump personally murdered 11 innocent Venezuelans. Those were freaking drug dealers.
Well, isn't it funny? They're more concerned about making sure drug dealers are safe coming to this country than they are about Americans in this country. And Todd, I'm totally surprised that you about your comment about the Republicans. they are nowhere to be found.
Where the hell are these guys?
I don't expect anything from anymore. I know it's a bad way to be, but I don't expect anything from our republic. Very few of them, but most of them, they need to take lessons from Charlie Kirk. They need to be bold when they're in Congress. Look at what happened overseas. Was it one of the legislative bodies there wanted to take a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk? And the president of their legislative body said no, but they got up and did it anyway. What do ours do? They hear no's and they acquiesce. I would have just got up there, stood up, and shut up until they got the hint. But we don't have anybody like that.
I said, now we're
very few.
We got people getting shot dead in the streets. People are getting carjacked. And you've got a lot of these Republicans out there, and they're holding these little cocktail parties, and they're giving each other these awards. You know, most improved swing, best Appletini recipe, and you're like, the rest of us are like, fighting for our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. We have, you know you have it here in L.A. You're seeing it all the time. Even though they say it's quieter, it's not. We have people that won't even go into L.A., only Zoom. That's it, because they're afraid of what might happen to them in the city. Look, your earlier person that you had on who talked about how the National Guard was sent in to desegregate schools. My God. And we can't send them in to keep people from being stabbed on trains so that my wife can go down to downtown L.A. into an area where you can make some great deals on product, but she can't go down there anymore because of what might happen to her or the car or the kids. No, this is not America.
We had
this
our
is not even close.
We had our good buddy Senator Brent Taylor on and in the show, and he's going to be making headlines after what he said, because he did make the comparison that these Democrat leaders are basically modern-day versions of Bull Connor and George Wallace, right?
Yeah.
And the civil rights of black citizens in Memphis are being violated. The great irony here is that in the 21st century America, Bull Connor and George Wallace are black dudes.
You know, I love this because you think the Democrats think they're the savior of the black community. And if you think of everything they've done to the black community, and, you know, I know he's dead and we're not supposed to do this kind of thing, but Jimmy Carter, who wouldn't build a black school or a school that would house black kids on the same side of the street as a high school that had white kids, because they might bump into each other. They might have to share the sidewalk. That was in Sumter County. And they're the savior of the black community? Really? I don't know how they got people to buy into this. All I know is that, I hate to say this, Todd, but we put too much, give too much credit to sometimes to the American voter, considering they voted Obama in twice. And the fact is that they might end up with this Mandami in New York City. And you're right. It's all about education. Till we take the education system back, this is what you said. It's, you're looking into the future and look at what we're raising. We haven't stopped doing it yet.
Nope, sure haven't.
At high school levels.
Sure haven't. All right, we got to leave it there, Joe Messina.
It got my blood pressure up, Todd.
Let me
God
tell
bless.
You. We're creating care packages. We're in the early stages of all this, but when the National Guard comes to town, we're going to be armed with, I don't know, racks of ribs, pulled pork, Gibson's donuts. They're going to be treated like, you know, the Americans coming into Paris after they were liberated. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
God bless, Todd.
Thanks, Joe. All right. Joe Messina. You know, when I was talking to the White, they called me last week and they're like, this is all off the record. You cannot talk about it. And I'm like, all right, no problem. So they told me that what was going to happen, and they're still working through all the particulars, but I can't believe Dylan, I can't believe I actually said what I said. I'm talking to him, and I said, look, here's the deal. I just have one request. I said, if the president actually comes to Memphis, I want to ride shotgun in the Jeep. And I said, oh, I'm just kidding. And then I said, no, I'm really not. I want to ride shotgun.
You may not get that request granted.
So if the president comes to town, and we will, you know, We'll share more when we can. But if he comes to town, Dylan, I'm trying to figure out, where do I take the guy for supper, right? We got to put him up at the Peabody. You know, that's a great – got the ducks. Maybe he could be the honorary duck master.
Yes.
You know, walk the ducks.
Folks Folly.
Folks Folly's good, but I'm thinking Central Barbecue. I'm thinking the president. We got to get the president a rack of ribs.
It can't be too fancy. I mean, maybe McDonald's, you know, one of our better McDonald's here.
A McRib sandwich from
that.
No, I'm not serving him a McRib sandwich. He's coming to Memphis, for crying out loud.
He loves McDonald's.
I know, but he can get McDonald's in Washington.
That's true.
I mean, he gets the fancy steak. So we're going to have to figure this out, because, you know, if the president does come to town, I can you imagine? Maybe he could parachute in.
I can try to imagine that.
This is going to be a lot of, you know what we could do? We could put him up at Graceland, right?
Yes.
We know the people there. And they've got a nice, you know, they got the, I mean, all the furniture's still there. They got it, good air conditioning. That might be a possibility. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Well, I just got a text message. Someone said, does the president like banana pudding? And It's a fair question. Next time we talk to the president, we'll inquire. But someone said the commissary in Germantown, they got great banana pudding. We're going to have to show the president a good time. That's all there is to it when he comes to Memphis. Let's go to the phone lines here. Lancaster, California. Jared is on the line. Hi, Jared. What's going on?
How you doing, Mr. Starnes?
Well, it has been a long time, my friend. Good. What are you doing?
Yes,
I understand you got yourself married and the whole nine yards.
I did. Yes, sir. It's been a great year and a half now, married.
Well, I am happy to hear that. And, of course, you have been so active in conservative politics and even started a conservative club on your campus back in the day.
Yes, sir, I did. And now I get the privilege through my ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church to lead about 7 public school Bible clubs weekly or every other week.
Wait. Let me get this straight. You're leading Bible clubs in California.
Yes, sir, that's right. Here in Los Angeles County, too, we have several public school Bible clubs we go into weekly as a youth ministry. And we just speak and preach in front of kids who are looking for something different than what's being shoved down their throat in the classrooms every day.
What's been the reception to the clubs?
Well, surprisingly, it's taken very well. One on Wednesday I went to here at public school. We had about 60 kids come, and as I was walking the door, I got the news about Charlie Kirk, and I just spoke to these teens about how the world is persecuting Christianity and how Charlie Kirk stood up for what was right and had courage with his Christian faith. And out of those 60 teens, about 12 to 15 of them raised their hand and accepted Christ into their heart, Todd.
Is that right? Jared, that is amazing.
That's what's going to change. I was listening to the last person on your show talk about public schools, and this is what's going to change our country. Is what Charlie Kirk was doing is just sharing the gospel on campuses, because they're looking for something different. They're being shoved down their throat this ideology, and they don't like it. And I'm seeing this more and more. We have clubs with 50, 60, 70 kids. They just want to hear something that's actually hope to them, not just this ideology that they're not right in their bodies and they need some kind of medicine for their hormones. They're not looking for that anymore.
Yeah. Jared, that music means we have to scoot out of here, but you have just blessed our hearts, and I know people are shouting and celebrating over this great news about young people getting saved and the great ministry that you're doing there in Los Angeles County. Jared, good to hear from you, my friend, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks at the big spiritual leadership conference coming up. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Show, Hour 3, Open Line Friday. This is a chance for you to call in. Full lines right now, so you're going to get a busy signal, but hang tight. We're going to be getting to your calls in just a matter of moments. This from Monroe Falls, Ohio. The vice president of the council there in Monroe Falls, Ohio, says, "So to all of you right-wingers out there, I have two things to say to you, Second Amendment and thoughts and prayers. The world is a better place now that he's gone." Believe it or not, that's one of the tamer moments of celebration on social media platforms over the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and it is ugly. And, you know, I was really torn, and I actually talked to the staff about this earlier, and Dylan, you were talking, we were talking to the break. I know that, you know, your sister was at the vigil last night. A lot of young people impacted by this, and you said you were even having trouble sleeping.
Yeah, the past 2 nights have been pretty rough. I mean, especially since, you know, I don't think we're ever supposed to see something like that. A lot of people saw it, you know, on the internet. So it just kind of lives in your head.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are affected. Obviously, you know, Charlie Kirk affected a lot of young people, my sister included. You know, she texted me and she was really worried in the moment. I was just trying to keep her updated, just comforting her. But yeah, it's a tough time right now.
I think it is. And a lot of, especially for a lot of younger kids who are, were just distraught and still are, and just trying to come to terms with, I mean, Charlie impacted millions and millions of young people, no doubt about it. Stephen King making some heinous charges on social media, which he has now backtracked, Stephen King, the writer. And I suggested to him that it's just, you know, it's not good enough. I'm done with these people. You know what? These are very bad people. We are dealing with evil, and this man needs to go to church and needs to find the Lord. One of the people calling Stephen King out is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. He is Travis Johnson, the pastor of Pathway Church. And, Pastor, I know you're a church with multi-campuses, but you're based, what, in, we call it L.A., Lower Alabama?
Todd, we are in L.A. I want people to get to heaven, but, you know, if they can't get to heaven, at least get to Mobile, Alabama. Pretty good.
Close enough. All right. Well, we have a lot of listeners down there in that part of the country. So we love L.A., and, of course, a lot of us vacation on the Redneck Riviera, so...
That's right. We have a campus right there on Orange Beach Express and Brinks Willis Road. So you got Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. Beautiful place, truly.
And, of course, also in the Memphis suburbs of South Haven, Mississippi.
That's right. You know, that's in your neck of the woods there.
It is.
Yeah, we're right. It's a beautiful place. Our campus is there. It's just about 2 years old, and we were just there a couple Wednesday nights ago for Night of Worship. It's an amazing place. God's really doing something special there.
Pastor, what compelled you to speak out yesterday on social media?
Well, you know, I think one of the problems is, you know, what Charlie Kirk has been doing is no different than what good pastors have been doing in pulpits. They're preaching the truth. You know, he's talking about freedom and talking about marriage between one man and a woman and two genders and sanctity of life, that life is created in the image of God. And for doing that, Charlie Kirk got shot yesterday. And so I'm appreciative. I love Charlie Kirk. And we can't be quiet. We can't be quiet. In fact, I would say one of the reasons that we need to be very careful about not speaking up is, or our failure to speak up, is because it makes Charlie look like he's out of order, or he's the banana that sticks out of the peel, and that's the one that the bunch, and that's the one that's going to get peeled. But every single pastor, every single Christian, when they stand before their family or their church, they ought to declare the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word unapologetically, no qualifiers. Just say it.
I think, Pastor, as I've sort of been thinking through all of this and going back and I'm not a revisionist, you know, with history. You know, Charlie was not a flamethrower. He was not like an Alex Jones or a Steve Bannon. He was, and if you remember early on, there was even a lot of controversy because Charlie wanted to have open conversations about issues like abortion, and that was a big issue several years back. And I think that's what's really shocking to a lot of young people is they're saying, well, wait a second, I believe the same thing Charlie believes here, and you're saying I'm a radical extremist?
Well, you know, Charlie, I just had Ryan Helfenbein on our podcast. I have that every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 Central. And Ryan Helfenbein basically followed Charlie there at Liberty University in the Standing for Freedom Center. So after Charlie, you know, head off and then just blew up, Turning Point, which, you know, Charlie is an anomaly. It's amazing what he has been able to do. But we were talking about the development of the man and the ministry and the strategist work that Charlie Kirk did. It was development. You know, I think that's sometimes we look at ourselves and we think we're stereotyped or other people are stereotyped. But, you know, Todd, you and me and Charlie, as far as that goes, you know, we're not a picture. We're more of a movie. We're not a page. We're more of a book. And it's a story that unfolds. And what Charlie did was pretty amazing, but it shouldn't have gotten him shot. And it's the level of discourse, the amount of hate, the money that's behind that, and I think that's what I was calling out yesterday. I mean, it was late last night. I dropped the post. I just looked at it now. It's about 1.4 million views, and it's because we live in a free society, and we ought to be able to speak the truth without being run off a campus and have our president shot at and our ministers having extra security and our guides and our voices under duress all the time. This is crazy. There's real money back behind this. And our campuses are being radicalized, And Charlie Kirk went into the middle of that, and for doing that, he was shot.
And I think that we have a responsibility to stand up and speak out. What was it? Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And, you know, I, for example, today, one of the national publications called me, you know, a far right conservative. And I called him out on it. And I literally sent an email and I said, I need you to explain to me, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by far right? You know, why the slur? Why not call me the owner of a news radio station or a nationally syndicated talk radio host or a Newsmax TV host? Why are you calling me a far right wing extremist? What's going on with that?
100%. You know, I just recently had, you know, one of these, the bomb thrower, you know, left extremist groups capture something that I said in a church service. They pushed it out. I responded back to them, said, thank you for helping me amplify the gospel. The only thing extreme about that is that God would lower himself to humanity so that he could save us. And I'm so thankful for him. So thank you for another 500,000 people watching the gospel being presented. But yes, it's just very normal. You know, marriage, this has been accepted. You know, biology, a man and a woman, for all of human history, in the last 5 minutes of history, radicals show up, funded oftentimes by, you know, really deep pockets, and that's what's extreme. It's extreme that you have teachers indoctrinating our kids in centers of indoctrination when they should be centers of education. And so it's not extreme to be a mom or a dad and be concerned about that, or a pastor and be concerned about it. You shouldn't have students getting kicked out of the classroom at Texas A&M University. Actually, it's not just public universities. You know, it's Christian universities. A lot of Christian universities have succumbed to wokeism, and those universities are just stalwarts and holding it on. I mean, you see, like, Liberty University, 150,000 students. It's exciting to see.
Travis Johnson is pastor at Pathway Church. There was a guy by the name of Willie Rice, Dr. Willie Rice. He's a pastor as well, and he wrote an essay that's gone viral, To the Young Men. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the column, To the Young Men. And he said, now is not the time, you know, because you've got all these, a lot of pastors now are saying, well, you know, guys, we need to tone down. We need to step back. And Dr. Rice is saying, no, we do not.
Right.
Because we have to speak up here. He says, feminism is a lie. Abortion is built on lies. Transgenderism, right, a lie. The whole sexual revolution is a lie. Pastor, what do you tell the young people, and especially the young men of your congregations, when they're asking about this? Because I have to imagine they're pretty distraught right now.
Well, what I see among our young men is they want to get married. I see among our young men, they're carrying Bibles, notebooks, highlighters. They're sitting on the front row. These are football players and baseball players and soccer players. You got all kinds of young men. In fact, at the beginning of this school year, we had about 120 young men and women march around their high school 7 days in a prayer walk, praying for revival for their school. So actually, I'm seeing the opposite. When the gospel is preached, then people actually get saved. And if you dumb down the gospel, if you round off the corners, you don't preach things that are offensive, then people don't recognize their sin. And here's the thing. If you don't preach the bad news, then there is no good news. And if we don't preach about sin, then why do we need a savior? So you have to preach sin so that people can come to know Jesus, to recognize who they are. And so we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing an incredible revival among our young people. And so I stand with people like Pastor Willie Rice. I think that's a good Baptist pastor there, isn't he? I'm pretty sure.
He is, yes. And I am of the Baptist persuasion myself, so I'm pretty impressed. I went to Wednesday night. I was just, I don't know. I think it's hit all of us in such a very odd way. And I go home, I'm just exhausted on Wednesdays, and I said, no, I got to go to church. I just need to be around people. And so we have a Wednesday night supper, and we have a Bible study, and you know, it was fascinating to watch our pastor, who's probably in his late 40s, I think, and he got up and said, you know, man, I watched Charlie's videos, and you know, we talked for a little while about that, and I was just so impressed that, you know, our pastor was taking the initiative and the time to do that, because so many times, pastors, there's almost a disconnect between the church and what's actually happening in the culture at the time.
Right. Well, let me ask you, why is that? Because when I look in the book of Genesis, we're told to take dominion over the earth, to rule and reign over it, and we're to be fruitful and multiply. That means every single arena. So the gospel is not only welcome to certain places. There's no place that Jesus doesn't own, And there's no place that any Christian should shrink back from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So I commend your pastor, and I commend every person in the mold of, you know, a Charlie Kirk, or really these are just gospel preachers. You know, these are basic tenets of Scripture. And so, you know, I'm thankful for that. In fact, I would say if to all the listeners, if their pastor preaches the truth, then you've got an obligation to say amen. You let them know, because there's a whole bunch of people that want him to stop preaching the truth. And so you keep them fueled up with, you know, serve, give in the church, give them a good amen, keep them encouraged, because we need more backbone. Like Pastor Willie Rice was saying, we need to have strong voices, and God will do a really incredible work. You know, actually, I was just looking at the ex post that I did. In it, I was calling for the forces that are behind these calls for death against people like Charlie Kirk to be investigated. And, you know, I listed some stuff out there. Then I noticed this morning, I said, actually, if Charlie Kirk was my son, then I would encourage, if Charlie Kirk was my son-in-law, I'd encourage my daughter to sue the people that had been pushing those narratives for a wrongful death suit. And then I noticed that this morning, and of course I also named George Soros, that he should be investigated. And then I noticed this morning, President Trump on Fox and Friends shared that he is going to be looking into George Soros, and he mentioned that he would be looking at a RICO investigation.
Good.
I thought it was pretty encouraging.
I say go after every single one of them, every single one of them. Pastor, we've got to leave it there. Where can people go if they want to get more information about your ministry?
Well, come check me out, pathwaychurch.us. You can find a campus or just search Pathway Church on socials. And then for me, I'm at Pastor Travis Johnson on all socials, except for one, and that's X, where I feel like I can be a little bit more, unseatbelted. And so you can catch me there at Based Pastor Trav right there. And that's where you'll find me interacting with you and a number of other people.
All right, good stuff. Well, Pastor, we will see you tonight. I believe you're going to be a guest on my Newsmax show, and we will continue the conversation then. Thank you very much.
Thanks for all you do. Great talking.
All right. Speaking of Newsmax, by the way, Rob Fenerty, have you been watching Rob's show? Man, it is just, it's unbelievable. As a matter of fact, Rob Fenerty, now the fastest growing primetime news show in America. President Trump has been on the show. He says Rob's show is so terrific, and millions of people are now watching Fenerty every night at 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. All this week, Rob is taking a look at the latest investigation into the killing of Charlie Kirk, and he's doing deep dives every single night on his television program. Check out your local cable system, Newsmax, on all major systems. You can download the free Newsmax app. It costs absolutely nothing. You can watch in minutes. Find out why even President Trump is watching Newsmax these days. Again, 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we are real news for real people. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show. As promised, for the rest of the show, we're just going to the phones. This is Open Line Friday. Let's go to Walt in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, our terrific station there. Hi, Walt. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to talk about Chuck Schumer, who I saw earlier given his comments on the sad situation. And he goes for a big magnanimous call for unity. But if you recall, when he was having a problem with the Supreme Court, he was like yelling at Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and he had a couple dog whistles. He says, "You've released the whirlwind. You'll pay the price." Do you remember that?
He said he would unleash, "You have unleashed the whirlwind." Yes, sir. I remember that.
Yeah, and he also said, "You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions."
And Walt, you remember what happened after those comments?
Well, yeah, they had people going to the Supreme Court justices' houses.
That's right.
Yeah. So talk about, you know, dog whistles. I mean, the left always talks about dog whistles and, you know, people getting in the media and giving out these secret orders. My God, think about that.
Walt, it's a terrible thing the Democrats have done, and their language and their rhetoric is they're literally putting lives on the line here. That literally. And I hope that we're going to be able to get the scoop on how this guy got himself radicalized, and we'll see how the FBI investigation proceeds. Walt, my friend, good to hear from you, and thank you for calling. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have two lines now open. Again, 901-260-5926. You know, we had a caller earlier talking about the Star-Spangled Blessing book, the devotion book. And I want you to read my books. I always want you to read my books, but I especially want you to read this one. Because when you do, you will understand what is truly going on in this country, and you're going to understand that we really are dealing not with a political battle, but it's a spiritual battle, good versus evil. And I believe that our nation was founded to be a Christian nation. I believe that our nation, our founding fathers, wanted us to be a Christian nation. And I'm afraid that we have strayed from those values. And we've got to get back on course. Get yourself a copy of Star-Spangled Blessing. You can order one wherever you buy your books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. You can also get a copy at toddstearns.com. All right, hang tight. We're going right to your phones coming up next. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Show. As promised, we are going to the phones. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Tong, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Tong, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing? Except the morning part.
Thank you very much. What's going on, Tong?
I just saw an article on National News Friday, and they and Greg Sawyer say, "Don't send troops and money." I wonder if a mayor needs another retreat for his job.
Well, Tong, you're talking about the news coming out earlier today that President Trump will be sending the National Guard to Memphis, Tennessee. This is the first American city where the president is going to send in the National Guard. Of course, the District of Columbia, different than, you know, a state like Tennessee. And a lot of people are very excited about this. Can't wait to get your can't wait to hear from our other Memphis listeners, Tong, because I suspect many others are going to be very happy to see the president step in here. And let me just say this, and Tong, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Let me just say this. President Donald J. Trump, he truly believes that Black lives matter. He does. Unfortunately, the Black Democrats who run Memphis, they don't believe Black lives matter. And they have allowed hundreds, if not thousands, of Blacks to be victims of crime in Memphis, Tennessee. And that's why President Trump is sending in the National Guard. Let's go to Memphis and Black Conservative. I understand you're in Oxford, Mississippi, but Black Conservative, your reaction to the news that the National Guard is on the way.
I am the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher. I'm just disappointed I didn't think of that idea to send the National Guards to Memphis. I'm just disappointed. I think it's great. I was a little uncertain about it at first because I didn't know exactly where they could be placed, you know, in the city, which would be safe for them. Definitely don't want to put them in Orange Mound or South Memphis area in a crime zone. I just didn't know where they could be set up for mobile and call-up. I just didn't know. But I think it's great, you know, that their presence is going to be here in the city. But I have a better, a better idea on how to to deal with crime in the city of Memphis, especially in these Democrat-run cities where crime is going rapid. And this may upset some callers and listeners, it may even upset you, but here's what I suggest we do in the state of Tennessee. We need to consider reinforcing for those who commit crimes, criminal hardcore crimes, they need to be confined to hard labor in prison, slave labor. Involuntarily, it's called involuntary servitude. That's what they need to reinstate. And these hardcore criminals, when they commit these crimes that they do against law-abiding citizens, they need to be confined to hard labor. Instead of being in their jail cell or playing basketball in jail, playing domino and writing a book that nobody's going to read, they need to be confined to hard labor while they are serving their sentence.
I love this idea. So you're talking about maybe bringing back the old chain gangs.
And voluntary servitude is what it's called. State of Tennessee, they banned it, but they need to reinstate it. You see, folks, this really may throw you for a loop. I'm not opposed to every form of slavery. I'm not. What? Some forms of slavery need to be reinstated. One form need to be involuntarily servitude.
Well, Black conservative, you and I are going to disagree on that. Jeez, Lou, you're getting me in trouble here, sir.
Hold for a minute. Pump your brakes. I have an erudite mind. I'm a man of much book learning.
No, I know you have an erudite mind, but jeez, Lou.
I didn't call into this show to be informed. I'm trying to inform your listeners. Listen, this is going to throw you for a loop in the Bible, and I hear you quote scriptures all the time, and it's great. You know, Moses had a question. Children of Israel had a little situation going on there, and they asked Moses. It was about whether it was okay for them to buy a slave from the nations around them. So God sent back His answer to that question. He said to the Hebrew children, "You may purchase or buy a slave from the nations around you." You may purchase them. You may do that.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying, but just I have to tell you, I, Todd Stearns, the host of this show, am opposed to slavery. And I do like the idea, though, of if you are arrested and you're incarcerated for a crime, you should be doing hard time and hard labor. To your point, no air conditioning, no fancy food. You are working your butt off, and the whole point is to make sure you don't. It's so bad, you don't want to go back there.
Now, I want soften your calling and listen. I'm not talking about chase down Kunta Kinte and cut his foot off. I'm not talking about that kind of slavery. I'm just saying that these criminals, when they get to jail, they shouldn't be able to play checkers and dominoes. They need to be confined.
Well, why don't you just put it like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, Todd, look, it's not a sin to own or purchase a slave. You know, they tore down all the statues because of slave owners. But I think that not inhumane, you know, stuff like that, slave stuff like that, I agree with that.
All right, Black conservative, if Al Sharpton shows up, I'm calling you, and you got to come down. You got to come down here.
Involuntary, they need to reinstate involuntary servitude in prison for criminals who do crime. Put them guys to hard labor.
Black conservative, we're going to leave it there. You've made your point. It's good hearing from you, my friend.
I approve this message.
All right. I bet you do. Black conservative. Can I tell you what happened, Dylan? This is terrible. I actually don't know who Black conservative is. Turn on your microphone. I got to tell you what happened last night. So I've never met Black. I don't know. I've never met him in person. I don't know his real name. And so anyway, I'm doing my remarks last night. Some fella comes up to me and he was like, man, I listened to your show. And the voice sounded very familiar. He goes, listen to your show, huge fan. And then he introduced himself and I leaned in. And I said, are you Black conservative? And he said, well, I'm a conservative and I'm Black, but I said, oh, wait a second. That came out wrong. I'm like, are you the Black conservative? And that didn't make any sense.
Oh, no. It's like asking if it's Batman when you're like looking up Bruce Banner.
So I had to explain. There's a guy named the Black. I said, yes. I should have said, do you have an erudite mind?
Yeah.
That's what I should have said. I can't just go around asking people, are you the Black conservative? That's terrible. All right. Let's go to Tom. And for the record, Tom, we do not support slavery on the Todd Starnes radio show.
Well, that's good news, Todd.
Just wanted to clear that up.
All right. Well, and what you just did was, you know, all these organizations talk about, this is not my point, but you made me laugh. Faith, family, freedom. There's a fourth F, fun. Because every morning when I wake up and I look in the mirror, I know my Father in heaven is a funny guy. Anyway.
It's true.
And I know. Anyway, but this is not a fun day, obviously, to the shooter. And I'm not going to use the name because I don't want to give him any, credit or whatever. I have this question. In your mind, where did the authority come for you to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner of someone you never met? That's just like what Cain did to Abel, but Cain actually knew his brother, so there may be some relationship there. But this is not a relationship. This is all stuff that he got warped and twisted in his mind to reach such a point that he thought he had the authority of God. He thinks he's a god, or God, so that he can actually go up there and pull that trigger and take this godly man out. I want to ask that question, and I want an answer from this shooter.
It's a great question, Tom. These are all fair questions, and I hope that we're able to get the answers, you know, that we're all looking for. And we need to understand how this guy got radicalized. And I think that will eventually answer all of those questions. My concern is where this is going to take us, because when you see the level of celebration on social media, the fact that T-shirt companies are now creating T-shirts that are mocking, they have images of Charlie's neck being blown off. Tom, that's evil, and that also is representative of great mental illness in our country.
Absolutely, Todd, and I would ask them the same question. Where do you get the notion that this is okay, that you have such an astute ability to comprehend and make sense of all of these philosophical and argument, you know, these esoteric questions about life and death, that you think that's okay? Answer me the question.
It's a great question, Tom. A great question. Tom, thank you for calling in, and God bless you for listening to WDUN. All right, we do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
And the White House just releasing this statement. President Trump announces bold action to crush violent crime in Memphis. The president said it's clear Memphis needs help. In 2024, Memphis had the highest violent crime rate, the highest property crime rate, and the third highest murder rate in the U.S. Violent crime increased in 2024, bucking the national trend. Memphis is, are you ready for this, folks? This is why we talk about this. And in any other city that would be this high, we would be talking about it. Memphis's total crime rate, 344% higher than the national average. In 2024, Memphis's murder rate was higher than notoriously high crime cities like Chicago, Baltimore, and D.C., and four times higher than Mexico City, 27 times higher than Havana. You're safer in Mexico City than you are in Memphis, Tennessee. There have been 149 murders in Memphis so far in 2025. This is all coming out of the White House. In 2022, Shelby County overhauled its bail system at the behest of its Soros-funded district attorney, instituting secured cash bail only as a last resort. Since then, an 18-year-old involved in a shooting that killed a Memphis police officer was released without bail just 1 month earlier after he was arrested for auto theft. A man charged with three counts of attempted first-degree murder after he shot police in a 12-hour standoff was released without bail. Three men charged with attempted murder and other felonies in the shooting of their coworkers were released without bail. And just last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, four children in their home were shot, gunned down in their home in Memphis. I'm telling you, only President Trump believes that Black Lives Matter in Memphis, not the black leaders who control this city. And again, you heard it. It's the Soros-funded district attorneys. All right, we've got to take a break. Going right back to the phones. Open line Friday, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back. And some new video is surfacing. The gunman, the alleged assassin, Tyler Robinson, speaking in Salt Lake City at an event for the Democratic Socialist of America. So there you go. More radicalization. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Again, Memphis, Tennessee. Melanie is on the line. Melanie Mosley. Melanie, I know you head up the Whitehaven Republican Club. What's your reaction to the big news today?
Oh, Todd, I was excited once I heard the news. I think it's a great thing, and I'm glad that we are on the president's radar, and he is going to send us some help.
Melanie, when you listen to the elected leaders, they say that Trump doesn't like black people. Trump doesn't really care about black folks. And yet all of the calls we've been getting, and even the black citizens of Memphis that they're talking to on TV, to the person, they're saying, what are you waiting for, Mr. President?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't understand how the leadership goes here, this liberal leadership, because, you know, I am a Republican. But I do believe in the victim. I don't believe, you know, once you commit a crime, then I don't hear any of those leaders coming out saying, hey, we need to stop this mess. The four children that you just mentioned that were shot, you have not heard nothing, or they have not came out and said, we got to stop this violence. We got to stop the murders. We have to stop. They have never come out against that. But they come out against the president saying, hey, we're going to send you some help so we can make Memphis safe. And in the words of Senator Brent Taylor, make Memphis matter again.
I believe that. How do you think the president's going to be received by the citizens of Memphis?
I think he's going to be well received. I think he's going to be well. I mean, he did a great job in D.C., and it's like D.C. just, you know, they're a whole nother city now. They feel more comfortable. The city's clean. So I think he's going to be well received here in the city of Memphis, and people will be able to enjoy going downtown, going to Midtown, and not have to worry about looking over their shoulders so much because, hey, we're going to have a National Guard here to help protect us because no one else, I mean, you know, in the police, we have a great police department, not saying that, but it was just too much for them.
Well, it is. And I think they're between, what, 500 and 700 officers below, you know, what they need to be at. So I think that I think it's really going to be well-received when the National Guard shows up.
Right, and so look at it like this. He's just sending some reinforcement so that concerned citizens can be safe. You know, our children can be safe because the children are not safe here in Memphis. Four shots the other night. And like I said, no black leader has came out and spoken against that.
Not a one. Not a one. Melanie, we got to leave it there, but great to hear your voice. And great to hear your thoughts on this. Folks, it's been a tough week. It has. And I want to encourage you, go to church this weekend. If you don't have a church, find a good Bible-believing church. If you're in Germantown, Tennessee, go visit Germantown Baptist Church. Good people over there. Folks, continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Be bold. Be courageous. Whatever you do this weekend, though, you be sure to go to church this weekend, America. This is the Todd Stern Show.